Hello and welcome! I'm so glad you've pressed play on this episode because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and exam-relevant topics in GCSE biology, disease and immunity. Whether you're revising for AQA, EdExcel, or OCR, this topic comes up every single year, and examiners absolutely love testing it. By the end of this episode, you'll understand exactly what pathogens are, how your body fights them off, what antibiotics can and cannot do, and how medicines are developed and tested. We'll also cover the lifestyle factors that link to non-communicable diseases, and I'll give you my top exam tips so you can pick up every available mark. So grab a pen, maybe a cup of tea, and let's get started. Let's begin with the absolute basics. What is health? The World Health Organization defines health as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Examiners love this definition. If a question asks you to define health, you must include all three components, physical, mental, and social. Miss one, and you lose the mark. A handy way to remember this is the acronym PMS, physical, mental, social. Not the most glamorous mnemonic, but it works. Now, diseases fall into two broad categories, communicable and non-communicable. Communicable diseases are caused by pathogens, microorganisms that can spread from one host to another. Non-communicable diseases, on the other hand, cannot be passed between people. Examples include cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and many cancers. These are often linked to lifestyle factors, which we'll come back to. So what are pathogens? There are four types you absolutely must know: viruses, bacteria, fungi, and protists. Viruses are the smallest pathogens. They invade your cells and hijack the cell's machinery to replicate themselves. This is why antibiotics don't work on viruses. Antibiotics target bacterial cell structures, and viruses simply don't have those structures. This is one of the most common mistakes candidates make in the exam, so let me say it clearly. Antibiotics kill bacteria. They do not kill viruses. Ever. Bacteria are single-celled prokaryotic organisms. They can reproduce rapidly inside your body and release toxins that make you feel ill. Examples include Salmonella, which causes food poisoning, and Mycobacterium tuberculosis, which causes TB. Fungi can cause diseases too. Athlete's foot is caused by a fungus, and in plants, rose black spot is a fungal disease that causes black blotches on leaves. Protists are single-celled eukaryotic organisms. The most exam-relevant example is Plasmodium, the protist that causes malaria. It's transmitted by the Anopheles mosquito, which acts as a vector, meaning it carries the pathogen without being harmed by it itself. Now, how do pathogens spread? They can spread through direct contact, contaminated water or food, droplets in the air when someone coughs or sneezes, and via vectors like mosquitoes. Understanding transmission routes is important because it helps explain prevention strategies, things like vaccination, good hygiene, using mosquito nets, and quarantine. Let's move on to how your body defends itself. There are two layers of defense: nonspecific defenses, and the specific immune response. Nonspecific defenses are your body's first line of attack. They work against any pathogen, not just specific ones. Physical barriers include the skin, which acts as a tough outer barrier, and the mucus in your nose and airways, which traps pathogens. Tiny hair-like structures called cilia then sweep that mucus and the trapped pathogens away from your lungs. Chemical defenses include stomach acid, which kills most pathogens you swallow, and enzymes in tears and saliva called lysozymes, which break down bacterial cell walls. If a pathogen gets past these barriers, your specific immune response kicks in. This is where it gets really interesting. White blood cells called phagocytes engulf and destroy pathogens in a process called phagocytosis. Think of a phagocyte as Pac-Man. It literally gobbles up the invader. But here's where the clever part happens. Pathogens have proteins on their surface called antigens. These are like identity badges. They're unique to each pathogen. When your lymphocytes, another type of white blood cell, detect these antigens, they produce specific antibodies. Each antibody has a shape that is complementary to one specific antigen, like a lock and key. The antibody binds to the antigen, neutralizing the pathogen and marking it for destruction. Now, here's the really important part for memory and vaccination. After the infection is cleared, some lymphocytes remain in your body as memory cells. If the same pathogen invades again, these memory cells recognize it immediately and produce antibodies much faster and in much greater quantities. This is why you rarely get the same illness twice. And it's exactly the principle behind vaccination. Vaccines contain a weakened, dead, or harmless version of a pathogen, or just its antigens. Your immune system responds by producing antibodies and memory cells without you actually getting ill. If you later encounter the real pathogen, your memory cells mount a rapid secondary response that destroys it before you develop symptoms. Now let's briefly cover medicines and their development. Antibiotics are medicines that kill or inhibit the growth of bacteria. Penicillin, discovered by Alexander Fleming in 1928, was the first antibiotic. It works by preventing bacteria from forming proper cell walls, causing them to burst. But remember, antibiotics are completely ineffective against viruses. The development of new medicines follows a strict process. First, a potential drug is discovered, often from natural sources or through chemical synthesis. Then it's tested in the laboratory on cells and tissues. Next comes animal testing to check for safety and effectiveness. Finally, clinical trials are conducted on human volunteers. These trials start with a small number of healthy volunteers to check for safety, then progress to larger groups of patients to test effectiveness. In double-blind trials, neither the patient nor the doctor knows who is receiving the real drug and who is receiving a placebo. This eliminates bias. Monoclonal antibodies are another area examiners love. These are antibodies produced from a single clone of cells, meaning they are all identical and specific to one antigen. They can be used in pregnancy tests, to diagnose diseases, and in cancer treatment, where they can be designed to carry drugs directly to cancer cells, minimizing damage to healthy tissue. Right, let's talk exam strategy. Tip number one, when a question asks you to explain the immune response, always use the word specific. Examiners want to see that you understand antibodies are specific to one antigen. Use the phrase complementary shape to describe the antibody-antigen interaction. Tip number two, the difference between communicable and non-communicable diseases is a guaranteed question somewhere in your paper. Communicable means it can be passed between organisms. Non-communicable means it can be passed between organisms. Non-communicable means it cannot. Don't mix these up. Tip number three, if you're asked about the secondary immune response, you must mention memory lymphocytes. Say that they remain in the body after the first infection, and that upon re-exposure to the same antigen, they divide rapidly and produce large quantities of the specific antibody very quickly. That's the full mark answer. Tip number four, for calculations involving BMI, remember, the formula is mass in kilograms divided by height in meters squared. Show you're working clearly. You can pick up method marks even if you get the final answer wrong. Tip number five, when evaluating treatments for cardiovascular disease, examiners want you to consider both benefits and risks. Use phrases like, however, on the other hand, and therefore to structure your evaluation. A six mark, evaluate question, needs a conclusion. Common mistake alert. Many candidates write that vaccines contain the actual disease. They do not. Vaccines contain a weakened, dead, or harmless form of the pathogen, or just its antigens. Get this wrong and you will not earn the mark. Another common mistake, confusing antigens and antibodies. Antigens are on the pathogen. Antibodies are produced by your lymphocytes. A helpful way to remember, antigens are alien invaders. Antibodies are your body's response. Time for a quick-fire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give the answer. Question one, name the four types of pathogens, viruses, bacteria, fungi, and protists. Question two, what is the role of memory lymphocytes? They remain in the body after infection and enable a faster, larger antibody response upon re-exposure to the same antigen. Question three, why do antibiotics work on viruses? Because antibiotics target bacterial cell structures, which viruses do not have. Question four, what is the name of the process by which phagocytes engulf pathogens? Phagocytosis. Question five, what does BMI stand for and what is the formula? Body mass index, mass in kilograms divided by height in meters squared. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways from today's episode. One, health is physical, mental, and social well-being. Remember PMS. Two, communicable diseases are caused by pathogens and can spread. Non-communicable cannot. Three, the four pathogens are viruses, bacteria, fungi, and protists. 4, your body defends itself with physical and chemical barriers first, then the specific immune response involving antibodies and memory lymphocytes. 5, antibiotics only work on bacteria, never on viruses. 6, vaccines work by stimulating the immune system to produce memory cells without causing disease. 7, monoclonal antibodies are identical antibodies specific to one antigen used in diagnosis and treatment. That's everything for today. You've covered a huge amount of content, and if you can recall all of those points confidently, you are in excellent shape for your exam. Keep revisiting this material using active recall. Close your notes and try to write down everything you remember. That's the most effective way to make it stick. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.